Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Welcome back with the Dean and
Alex,
the Books Boys.
Woo! Whoa, baby!
So, bonus content. Hello, Books Boys. Multiple books, multiple boys. So we got, we're going to have an interview in a moment with Philip Davidson, author of Birth of the Tiptons. The reason Alex is here is because we're about to record Playboys anyway, and I just thought you'd be curious about this. So we just watched some Blackadder the Third, and that has the reign, the regency of Prince George, because his father, King George the Third, is insane and is locked away. This book
is 1800s, correct?
Yes. So this book, I think so, is about that. It's about King George the Third, and we see his son, basically his oldest son, has become regent. But he has these two other sons that he's had to a mistress, and they don't know that they are the sons of the mad king. And his sons are called George and Charles. But via some kind of gemstone, philosopher's stone type gimmick, one of the sons is able to communicate with their father from the insane asylum, but doesn't know who he is. And he gets really upset when he asks his father, like, are you a good person? And he asks him at one point, have you ever killed anyone? And of course the king has to say, well, I've ordered deaths. And that kind of starts a bit of an estrangement. Meanwhile, the son is a bit kooky himself, but he has an obsession with creating music picture shows. He essentially is trying to invent movies. And he's like, well, what if I put music and sounds to like all these pictures and I'll show stories? Like, here's one about the history of Britain. Here's one about, you know, something else. And he wants to put them in the theatres. So he's doing that while his brother is kind of a villain at times and is going against him and trying to stop him. But it's just like, it's a fun book. Meanwhile, there's something called a 200-year trust, that there's this chest of objects that's not allowed to be opened for 200 years. And we have some scenes in the present day with female descendants, not Charles and George, but Charlotte and Georgina. And the 200 years have passed and they're like, cool, we can open our ancestors' chest now and see like what objects they've kind of left us behind in the time capsule. So it's a cool story about that. And then at the very end, aliens.
Oh, okay. So. Yeah, as you do.
Yeah. And I just, was curious to tell you about that book. And I knew I wouldn't remember by the time we got to Books Boys. But we're going to now cut to the interview.
Have fun.
Hello, you're through to Books Boys. You've got Dean on the line. Who's calling?
My name's Philip Davidson.
Philip, it's fantastic that you should call in because I have just last week read your book, Birth of the Tiptons.
Wonderful.
Fantastic stuff. We'll talk about, I don't want to give too many spoilers, but we'll talk about a few bits and pieces from the book. But it's a very interesting concept. And I'm reading most of it and I'm thinking, gosh, this is like, you know, not what I was expecting. It's very interesting. And then at the end, it's even more crazy, not what I was expecting. So how did you put these ideas together?
It evolved over several years, really. I mean, there's actually three novels already written. I'm sort of three quarters of the way through the second one to sort of update it. I came to the end of the last one and thought of this whole concept of who these aliens were, actually. I mean, there was kind of, you know, by book two, there was aliens in it, you know. I couldn't think who these aliens were, actually. So it remained a bit of a mystery, actually, you know. And then I suddenly sort of thought of something that happened about 30 years ago, which I won't go into now, actually. But it was just a fantastic story. And it will come out later, this whole story. It's just an amazing story, actually. Well, I don't want to give too much away, actually, you know, but...
Yeah, but you gave away the one thing that I wasn't sure, which was the alien angle.
Maybe you reveal a bit more, you know, once they've done that, actually, yeah.
One thing I do normally ask people is, you know, are you working on a sequel? And no, you've already mentioned, and it's in the back page of the book, you know, you've got 5 parts potentially planned. We've got information here on part 2, Courtship, part 3, 2020. Part 4, we're going way back in time, and a potential 5th part. So this is going to be a big saga. This is not a once and done.
It's a bit of a mammoth sort of thing, actually.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I finally got the start of a website up and running.
Okay, good.
Which is tiptons.tv. And we've got connected to... X and Instagram, and so everybody will be able to connect on there as well, actually.
Awesome. And what I'll do as well is, I'm just making a note of that, tiptons.tv. I'll put a link as well in the show notes so that people can click on that. That's fantastic. So it's very interesting because you mentioned the thing that I wasn't going to spoil, which was the alien angle, which kind of comes in and becomes very more, you know, prevalent at the end of the book. But the basic premise, I suppose, we have this chap who hurts himself in the park, walking along, you know, he twists his ankle or something like that, and meets this chap who comes and says, well, you know, I'm going to start talking to you about the Tiptons and about George III and all this kind of stuff. And at first he thinks, oh, so this is just a crazy person in the park, you know, I'll hopefully get an ambulance for my injury here and get away from him. And now it turns out that the chap has no intention of letting him get away and says, I'm the father of George III. So already I'm thinking, okay, well, this is not going to be a conventional story. This has already taken a twist I was not expecting.
It's full of twists, I think, yeah.
Yeah. One of my favorite parts is obviously then we see the two girls carrying the trunk around and they're thinking, you know, okay, there's a trust on this. So it's a 200-year trust. We're not allowed to open the trunk until that time has passed. And these girls are, of course, Georgina and Charlotte. And I couldn't connect who they were. You know, maybe I wasn't thinking critically. I was kind of like, that's a bit of a random, unrelated bit. And then, of course, it makes sense later when it all comes together. But there's a fantastic part then where they say, look, you know, to the two boys, Charles and George, you should also name your children Charles and George. And they say, well, what if we have girls? And then I realize, ah, okay, so there we go. That's why we've got Charlotte and Georgina, which is fantastic. So what was the process like? I mean, did you know where this was going from the beginning, or were you kind of surprising
not
yourself
really,
by some of it?
No, not really. It was a bit sort of meandering and random, actually. It's been sort of rewritten a couple of times already, actually. And this is the third pass now, actually. I just thought I'd let it wander to where it was meant to go, actually. And it kept on evolving into sort of more and more strange ways, really.
So it's interesting because I've been watching, actually just last week, by pure coincidence, I was working my way through the old Blackadder episodes, and I just happened to be getting through Blackadder the Third, where, of course, we have the Prince Regent, whilst Mad King George is locked up. And it was just a coincidence that it tied in perfectly with also reading the book about the same time period with the Regency. So that was interesting to me. Did you always want to write about this time period? You know, was that the start point?
No, actually, how it started really was a film script. You know, you're not going to believe this really, and I don't know if I want to reveal it either, but anyway, I will. If you were readers or whoever you, it started out as a film script actually about the Industrial Revolution, and it evolved and it evolved and it evolved. But there were some really good ideas in that film script that I didn't really want to get. Ripped off really. So I thought, instead of pitching it and probably, you know, it getting ripped off by film producers, you know, somewhere in Hollywood or wherever, you know, I'll put it in a book, you know, because it's actually quite a good idea. George III was kind of never in it at the beginning.
Right.
He didn't evolve into it until the second run, actually.
Oh, right. Okay. So there was an entire kind of draft almost without him.
I mean, originally the boys, you know, just had some duke, actually, as their father, actually. Well, I don't want to reveal too much, actually. Yeah, I'm letting too much out of the bag, actually. Yeah. It's been a meandering process that sort of came together in stages, really. You know, towards the end of book three, it really gets pretty wild, actually. Yeah.
Okay. See, I would have said it had gotten wild already by the end of book one. So I'm very interested in. Okay, very interested in book. So when are we expecting the others to come out? You said you're kind of just finishing off, but
I'm hoping to, you know, get the second one out before Christmas. Anyway, yeah.
Okay. So this year, hopefully. Fantastic. Yeah. So I suppose the main crux of things is, as you mentioned, the two boys, George and Charles, and of course they are the sons of George III, but they don't know it. And that's a very crucial part of the whole book, is they don't know who they are, and that's part of the trust, right? You're not allowed to embarrass the monarchy, and you're not allowed to find out who your parents are, basically.
Right. Yes.
Which is interesting. But I do like that we have, you know, one of them, George, having this kind of connection with his dad and being able to somehow communicate with him via, is it like a gemstone? What exactly are they using to communicate?
You'll find out more about this.
Okay, so we'll find out.
Actually, yes. It's a gemstone that a lot of people actually know about, but they don't know about it, actually. Mm. Yeah. So, okay. So yes, it's very magical sort of gemstone. Yeah.
Well, they're able to communicate, which is great. I do like the dynamic between the two brothers. I don't want to give, you know, too many sort of plot points away, but I do like that we eventually see George standing up to Charles in one particular moment after kind of being trodden on a little bit, I suppose. And, you know, it's a shame, but then it's good to see him kind of eventually stand up for himself at one point. And I love his little son. I love that his son is a child but talks like an adult.
Yeah, everybody seems to like that.
And he's telling his dad, like, what to do. Like, a five-year-old is advising him, you know, on what to do. It's fantastic. Cool. Yeah, well, so who's your favourite character, Phil?
Well, I don't know, really. I mean, George is a bit of an idiot in lots of ways, you know. But he can't really help it, you know. I mean, that's just the way he is, really. I don't know. I don't particularly have a favourite, you know. Zakamonsky is actually kind of a very intriguing character as it comes along, actually. He's got a terrible history, actually, this guy, you know. He's probably, it gets more and more mysterious, actually, you know, because he doesn't really know where he comes from either, actually. I mean, I think he's the most mysterious person out of the whole lot, actually.
Okay. And we don't know too much about him yet, really.
Georgina sort of comes on fits and bounds, actually, in book two, actually.
That's something I'm really excited about, is finding out more about the girl's story in book two.
Yeah. The girls are always more interesting in a way. So.
And of course, exploring the alien aspects a little bit more. But even book one, just contained as it is, you know, I really enjoyed it, and I enjoyed the story about George III and everything, and his son George especially. I thought it was fantastic. Tell us about the music picture shows, because that's a very important thing to George.
Well, yes, I mean, I kind of, you know, as I said, I saw this. I saw this thing as a film script, actually, and you know, this this sort of flip show through the 1700s actually was done in a lot more detail actually in the film script actually, and that was a bit of an integral part. You know, it was done quite coordinated to music and stuff, and that was something that I wanted to do in the film script actually was you know, a sort of highly coordinated thing to music in that showed the whole of a century evolving actually. It doesn't really come across much in the way it had to be compressed a lot actually, you know. So you know, it just got sort of too boring actually for, I think, you know. So that you know, that one of the main features of the film script actually got junked really, you know, but it kind of still made it into the book actually, you know. So yes, that maybe at some point, you know, if somebody asked me to sort of do that, you know, it might reappear, you know.
Yeah, could still be done.
Yeah.
And I like as well that you give the annex at the back where we look more in depth into the picture show that he put on about British history and everything. Because that was one of the things, you know. It's quite fantastic, you know. George has invented essentially this this filmmaking idea, these moving picture shows with music and everything, and he wants to put these on, but no one, you know, he's got to find a theatre to do it, and he, you know, he's, as you say, a bit of an idiot, so he's not maybe always taking the best approaches. But it's fantastic that he's developed this thing that he wants to do. So I really support him. Like, the whole time I'm rooting for him, and I'm kind of like, no, I want to see you put on some big productions of these music picture shows, you know. And then obviously having the annex at the back that looks into it is great. But yeah, some very good stuff. And there's a lot of funny moments, you know, surrounding that. And when he's trying to get the theatre and he locks the people in the room to show them his show, but he goes off about Divine Empires and various tangents, and they think, oh goodness, we're kidnapped in a room with a loony, you know. Yeah, it's very, very good stuff there. Well, there's a question we asked.
Part,
oh, go ahead.
I think part two is a lot more comical, actually.
All right, okay.
So it is quite funny, part two, actually.
Good. There's a fair bit of comedy here, so I'm looking forward to part two then, definitely. So let me ask you something that we like to ask to every author that comes on. And that question is, if there's one book that already exists that you wish you'd been the person to write, what would that be?
Oh my God. You know, I've got a horrible confession, really. You know, I'm not really much of a reader, actually. my old man actually was quite a famous author. He always drove him up the bloody wall, actually. So I was not much of a reader, you know. So I don't know if I can answer that question, really. Yeah. I don't know the complexities of books, really. You know, I'm a total novice at this whole thing, really. I probably will get more into things now that I am an author, actually.
Yeah, it's interesting that you're writing books but not reading them.
No, I've never quite had the patience. Or, I did when I was sort of much younger, actually. You know, there was a few authors I was quite like Graham Greene and people like that, you know. So I've kind of, you know, I've got more into sort of films, I suppose, you know. I don't know. I'm sorry. I can't really
no
sort of give an
That's
answer.
All right. That's all right. Well, as I said, we've already given the website, so I'll put that in the show notes. Is there anything else that you'd like to plug or tell people where they can get the book or any social media you want to plug, anything like that?
Well, as I said, I will be available on Twitter and stuff. It will be available on Amazon and you know, everything that they do, I guess. You know, ebook and paperback and I think hardback as well, actually.
Oh, nice.
And it will also be available in Waterstones and places like that, actually.
Okay, so we can go buy it in the
and
shop. Well.
I'd like also, you know, if people could, you know, apart from trying to order it and give me a review on Amazon, if they could also order it at their public library, you know, so it's in there as well, you know.
Ah, yes, that's a good idea. I've never had an author say that before, but yeah, that makes sense. Get it in the libraries as well. Yeah,
yes,
absolutely.
I'd love it to be in the libraries, yes.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, Philip, thank you so much for your time. Thanks for calling in. I love the book. Can't wait for the sequel and apparently the next four after that. So.
Okay, well, that's very kind of you, and thank you very much.
No problem. Take care. Bye bye.
Okay, thanks for having me on.
No problem. Thanks. Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.